Here in Masecht Tainis Daf Tezvav, and we're going to begin on Daf Yudalet Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Amar Belezer, En Adam Chosh Rishoy Lipal Aponov, a distinguished person, is not allowed to do Nefilas Apayim, prostrating on the floor. Elam Kein Nena Ki Yeshu Benun, unless he's confident that his Tefilas will be accepted like the Tefilah of Yeshu Benun. Shnemer, as the Pasuk says in Yeshua, V'yomer Hashem al Yeshua, Kumloch, get up, Lomzat Tonoifel Apanecha. This is the Pasuk after Klai Yisrael had lost the battle in Ai, and Yeshua davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah points out a number of halachas. When the Gemara here speaks about Nefilas Apayim, it doesn't refer to the Nefilas Apayim that we do when we daven, when we say Tachdon, that we only put our head down and we cover it. That's not called Nefilas Apayim. Nefilas Apayim means completely prostrating, Pishut Yudayim Verglayim. Moreover, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Isser is only when the Adam Choshev is doing it alone. He's the only one doing Pishut Yudayim Verglayim in the Tzibur, when there are other people and nobody else is doing anything. But if he were to do Pishut Yudayim Verglayim as a member of the entire Tzibur, it would be permissible. The Paiskim also say, if he's doing the Nefilas Apayim, doing Pishadayim Raglayim in the privacy of his home, not in front of other people, it's also not an issue. Because as Rashi explains, why was Rabbi Elazar concerned about Adam Choshev doing Pishadayim Raglayim? Because we're concerned that his tefillah will not be answered. And then, as Rashi says, people will start questioning, is he really Adam Choshev? Or people will start questioning, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu hear our tefillahs? But if all these other circumstances, we don't have those concerns. And the Paiskim also discuss, we'll just mention it for a moment. The Torah says, Ve'evin maskus le'susimu ba'artzchem, the halach is we're not allowed to bow down on a stone floor. Midai Raisa, the Isser is only if it's a stone floor, and it's Pishut Yudayim Raglayim completely prostrating. Anything else is not Osir Midaraisa. However, Midrabbanan it's Osir if it's a stone floor, even if it's not Pishut Yudayim Raglayim, or if it's Pishut Yudayim Raglayim, even on a non-stone floor. That's why the minig is on Yom Kippur, when we do Kairim, number one, we shouldn't do Pishut Yudayim Raglayim, we just bow down. And number two, people, especially if the shul has a stone floor, marble floor, put something between themselves and the floor. Certainly the Paiskim say if one is not laying flat, he's only laying on the side, the issue of Evan Maskus doesn't apply. So, says the Gemara further, a distinguished person can't put on sackcloth, unless he's certain that he's going to be answered like Yoram ben Achav was answered. Shnema, as the Pasuk says in Malachim, V'hi kishmai ha-melech is divrei isha, when the king heard the words of this woman, the yikra es begodav, he ripped his begodim, for oiva alachayma, and he was passing by the wall, the yar ha'om, vihine asak al psoroi. He was wearing sackcloth. The pasuk describes that there was a terrible famine by Klal Yisrael, and that two women had made a deal, because they never had nothing to eat. That on the first day they would eat the child, the flesh of one of their children, and the next day they would eat the other one's child. The first day they ate one of the women's children. And the next day the woman who lost her child said, now it's time to eat your child. And she refused. So they went to a dentire in front of Yehoram. When Yehoram heard what a terrible situation Klal Yisrael was in, that this was the dentire that he had to deal with, at that point he put on sackcloth. And as the Mepharshim say, Yehoram wasn't a big tzaddik. And he davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his tefillahs were answered, and the price of wheat and barley dropped significantly. So that, if somebody knows that his tefillah could be answered, then he could put on sackcloth. Again, the Pais can say the is to put on sackcloth is only if one is wearing the sackcloth directly on their body. If they're wearing the sackcloth over their clothing, that's not what the Gemara is referring to. Continues the Gemara, Vamar Belazulayah called the Kriya. Not everyone is allowed to rip their clothing. For Loya Kob and Nefila, not everybody could fall on the floor. Moshe V'Aaron and Nefila, Moshe V'Aaron were answered by falling on the floor. Yeshua V'Kalei were answered by Kriya by ripping their clothing. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila d'ksiv v'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneim. Moshe and Aaron fell on the ground. Yeshuva kala b'kriya, they ripped the clothing. D'ksiv Yeshuva nun v'kala ben yifuna kar b'gdem, they ripped the clothing. Maskler of Zeri Tamer of Shmuel Nachmeni. If Aksiv, if the pasuk just would have said Yeshua, could have come it. Yeshua and kala did kriya. Moshe and Aaron did nefila. Hash d'ksiv v'yeshua, but the pasuk uses the vav preceding the word Yeshua to teach us half a half it, that Yeshua and Kalev did both Kriya and Nephilim. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, Posh Pshah in the Gemara is that Nephila requires less exertion than Kriya. So Moshe and Aaron, who are on a higher level, only required Nephila. Yeshua and Kalev, who weren't on such a high level, required Nephila. But the problem with that pshat, as the Marsha indicates, is that Moshe and Aaron should be allowed to do Kriya. The Gemara should say they don't have to do Kriya, but they should be allowed to do Kriya if they want. So that's why the Marsha takes a different approach and says that there are different ways of working for different people, and Kriya is for lower level people, and the Nefila for higher level people. The Marsha also asks, here the Gemara says that Yeshua had to do Nephila. The first Gemara we learned today says that Yeshua did Kriya. So how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So Moshe answers that the first Gemara that we refer to in today's Shir was after Yeshua was already the leader of Klal Yisrael. After he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, he could do Kriya and be answered. This Gemara is referring before Yeshua was named the leader of Klal Yisrael. He wasn't up to yet being able to be answered through Kriya. He had to do Nephila. Var Rabbi Elazar, Loya Kol B'Kima, V'Loya Kol B'Shtachavoya. And Mitzvah Shem, when Klal Yisrael will be redeemed, we will be greeted by all the nations of the world. Some will greet us by getting up, and some will greet us by bowing down. Melachim B'Kima, kings will greet us by standing up. V'Sar noblemen will greet us by Shtachavoya, by bowing down. Melachim B'Kima, how do we know kings will greet us by standing up? Except Koy Oma Hashem, Goy Yisrael Kadosh, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. Leviza Nefesh, Klal Yisrael, who is embarrassed, Lemissive Goy, that they're despised by all the nations of the world. Le'evid Moshlim, we are ruled by servants, we're ruled by lowly nations. Melachim Yiru, when Mashiach comes, the Melachim will see us, V'kamu, and they will get up to greet us. V'sarim, how do we know the Sarim will bow down? V'shtachavoya, Tiksiv Sarim Vishtachvu, noblemen will bow down. Maskler of Zero, Vitamer Shumba Nachmeni, Yaviksiv Visorim Vishtachvu. If the Pasuk would say that noblemen will bow down, Kirakamit, that's as you explained. Noblemen will bow down, kings will get up. Hash Diksiv Sarim Vishtachvu, the Pasuk says Vishtachvu, Hova Vavid. That means that kings will get up, and noblemen will bow down, and then get up, all in deference to Klal Yisrael. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok, Af and the Omer, I will also add to this list. Lo yakol la'ora, v'lo yakol la'simcha. Not everybody will be meritous of light, and not everybody will have joy. Tzadikim la'ora, tzadikim will merit light, v'yisharam la'simcha, yisharam will be zoicha to simcha. Tzadikim la'ora, d'ksiv, o zeruah la'tzadik. So tzadikim will have or. So yisharam la'simcha, d'ksiv, l'yisharam la'simcha, they will see Simcha. Tosfos again asks, perhaps we should say Vili Yesharim, the Vav, should teach us that Yesharim will have both Oira and Simcha. So Mefarshim answers, since the Pasuk doesn't say Uli Yesharim, it says Uli Yishrei, which means many, the Pasuk is coming to distinguish between Yesharim and Tzadikim. So the Machlokes HaRishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi learns that Yesharim are on a higher level than Tzadikim. Tzadikim will only have R, light, and Yesharim, who are in a higher Madrega, will have Simcha. And as Reb Tzadik HaKohen explains, light means that the Tzadikim in this world had to fight the Yetzirah and had to battle all the time, and then they will have the light to see that their path was right. The Yesharim don't have to have that battle. They're Tzadikim on their own, and they'll just be zoichet to simcha. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. But the Mashah quotes the Rashba, who says just the opposite, who says that tzaddikim are on a higher level than yisharim, and therefore he says tzaddikim who are on a higher level, a person on a high level, what is the biggest schar you could give him? Not a gashmis schar, not something in a physical schar. We give him oiro. They'll have the light, a tiny ruchni. That's their schar. Yisharim, who are on a lower level, we have to give them a reward. HaKadosh Baruch will give them a reward that we mortals could appreciate, which is simcha, joy. And I saw from a Baruch Shimon Schneerson, Shabina Rosh Yeshiva, he says that we find psukim, some psukim seem to indicate that yisharim are a higher level. Our pasuk says tzaddikim than yisharim. He says, on the other hand, when you look in the tefillah, when we say on yontif, first we say yisharim and then tzaddikim. So it seems that tzaddikim are a higher level. So he explains like this. He says tzaddikim start off on a lower level than yisharim. Because like we said, tzaddikim have to live in this world and they have to battle the yetzahara. Yisharim have it easier. He says, however, once the tzaddikim prevail over the Yetzirah, and they're able to turn the gashmius, they're able to turn Olam Hazeh into ruchnius, that is even a higher level. So we start with tzaddikim, then we have yisharim, but tzaddikim who ultimately prevailed are the highest madrega, that they were able to turn gashmius into ruchnius. The Mishnah, long Mishnah, teaches us what happened, and as we'll learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, during the last set of seven Tanaisim. Say the tiniest Ketzed. How did it work on the tiniest? There's Machloikus Rishonim. If the tiniest that's referred to in our Mishnah is only a tiniest that's decreed when there's a drought, or is the tiniest that's described for any tzara? Mitzinas a teva l'rechoy v'shalir. They take out the teva. So most Rishonim explain the Teva means the Aron HaKodesh. They take out the Aron HaKodesh to the city square. The Miri says it's only if the city is mostly Jewish, where it's not a problem to take it out, L'Rechoy V'Shalir. Others say that the Teva means that they had an Aron HaKodesh where they kept most of the Sifrei Torah, but they had one Aron where they kept one Sefer Torah, which was used for this type of situation. Yet others say Teva means the Bima, on which the Sefer Torah is normally read. I saw from Ramosha, he says, usually in Shas, when the Gemara wants to describe about Tefillah, he calls him a Yordin Lefnei HaTeva. So he says, from here we see that the Baal Tefillah should stand next to Aron HaKodesh. Yordin, the Baal Tefillah should go Lefnei HaTeva, next to Aron HaKodesh. For Nois and Efer Mikla, they put ash, Agabi HaTeva, on top of the Aron HaKodesh. The Rambam interestingly says that not only is it put on top of the Aron HaKodesh, but it's also put on top of the Sefer Torah. And I saw from Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik explaining why. Because the Torah says, Torah, Torah, Chigri Sak. The Torah, so to speak, feels the Tsar of Klal Yisrael. So that's why they put ash on top of the, according to the Rambam, on top of the Sefer Torah also, or Rosh HaNasi on top of the Nasi's head, Rosh HaBezdin, V'kol Echad V'Echad Noisin B'Roshai. Everybody would put ash on their heads. So Rashi says, Efer Mikla means ash, not dust. In other words, Rashi says, even though many times when the Gemara or the Mishnah uses the word Efer, it can mean ash or dust, here it specifically means ash, because ash is more degrading, and we want to show the tzorus, the serious situation we're in. There's a very interesting Tosfos on the Mishnah. The Tosfos is on Amud Beis. The second Tosfos is on Amud Beis. Tosfos says, what does Efer Mikla mean? Efer Mikla says Tosfos means the ash of a human. The ash of a human bone. And why? To remind us of the ash of Yitzchak, who was burnt. So there are two problems with Tosfos. Number one, Yitzchak was never burnt. Number two, how could Tosfos suggest, the Mefarshim all ask, that we would burn a human bone to make ash? And even if we'll say that we've already found it burnt, it's still not covered, hames, to use a human remain for such a purpose. There are a discussion amongst the Paiskim if there's a chiyuv kfura on burnt ashes of a human bone. But certainly it's difficult to believe that that's what Tosfos means. So I saw in the Shar Metzion HaBalacha, he explains Tosfos that there was a mistake in Tosfos. Originally, and it's important to look into the Tosfos, Tosfos originally wrote V'oisa Eifa Havim Me'etzem, and in the original Girsa of Tosfos there was an Aleph. Havim Me'etzem Achod. What did it really mean? Echod really meant the Ayol, which was to remember that the Ayol was what Avram Avinu brought as a carbon. A printer in later generations seeing the Aleph and not understanding that it should be an Ayol changed it to Adam, and that's how this mistake came into Tosfos. But he says it certainly can't mean that Tosfos means that we took the ash of a human. Hazokin Shbehan, the elder, Omlef named Divrei Kvushim. He said to them, Kvushim Divrei Musar. Kvushim means that they were pressed. He tells them things that will steer them to tshuva. Others say Kvushim means secrets. He tells them to look into their situation, look in what's going on in their lives to do tshuva. Does Machlokes Rishonim, at what point of the day does the Zokin say this? Does he say it before the tefillah began? Or does he at least say it, but all Rishonim say it certainly begins, he says it before the beginning of Chazaras Hashatz. Before they get into the tefillah, they should hear the Divrei Musar. And that I saw the Poskim say that Rabbonim, who say drashas and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, should say the drasha before the tefillah, not after the tefillah, to get the olam this oir before the tefillah. And he said, "Achenu lo nema be'inshin Ninveh." It doesn't say regarding the people of Ninveh. We know the story of Ninveh, where Yonah was sent to Ninveh to get the people to do tshuva. It doesn't say v'yar alakim esakim estanitzim. It doesn't say Kodesh Baruch Hu sort of sackcloth their fast. El v'yar alakim esmaseyem kishovim b'dark marah. So the Beis Elokim says V'yar Elokim es Maseyem that they did tshuva on the Averois ben Odom l'Chaveroi Kishav Medakim Hara that they did tshuva on the Averois ben Odom l'Mokel u'bekabalah hu'aymer, and it says enach v'kiru l'vavchem v'al begdeichem. So most Mepharshim say v'kiru l'vavchem, a person has to do tshuva to his heart, he has to mean it. Another pshat I say is v'kiru l'vavchem, do tshuva to prevent Val Begdechem, that you shouldn't have to come to render and rip your clothing. So Rashi discusses here that here the Mishnah uses the word Bekabalah to meaning Navi. And Rashi points out why sometimes does the Mishnah use the word Bekabalah to describe Navi, and sometimes it doesn't use that word. So Rashi quotes a Tosfos that says that when the Mishnah is repeating Divrei Musar said by a Navi, it uses the word Bekabalah. When we're just repeating something that a story, we don't use the word Bekabalah. That's why in the Mishnah, when it repeats the story of Ninveh, it doesn't use the word Bekabalah. But when it says the Pasuk here in Yoel, which is Divrei Musar, it uses the word Bekabalah. That's a Tosfos that Rashi quotes. Many Mepharshim are very disturbed with that pshat, because we find sometimes that the Pasuk uses the word Kabbalah, even when it's not Divrei Musar, the Mishnah. Therefore, they say that the reason the word Kabbalah is used, the Tiferes Yisrael says the reason Kabbalah is used here and not by Ninveh, is because perhaps the situation by Ninveh was different. There, first of all, was Goyim. Ninveh wasn't the city of Jews. Number two was already after their fate was sealed. Number three, maybe the Averis were very great. So that's why the Mishnah uses the Kabbalah on a Pasuk, which is a stronger proof. Others say that all Divrei Nevi'im are called Kabbalah, because everything that the Nevi'im heard, they really have a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Ruach HaKodesh. Others say the word Kabbalah is appropriate for Nevi'im, because Kabbalah means to kibble. They complained and they talked to us about our actions. On the Betfila, Narikat Davening, Meridin Lefanei Teva, they take to the Batfila. Meridin, as we said many times, their Omid, where the Batfila stood, was lower, as the Pasuk says, Mimamakim, Kurasich Hashem, Zokin, an older person, Virogel, somebody who's fluent in the Tfila. Rashi says, why do we take somebody who's fluent? Because the Gemara says that if someone is not fluent in his tefillah, simin ra l'sholchav, it's a bad sign for the people that sent him. Others say, simpler pshat, if he's fluent, so he doesn't have to spend so much time concentrating on the pronunciation of the words, and he can have kavono. V'yesh lebonim, he has family, ubeis arekim, k'dei shi'i leba shalom tefillah, they could daven properly. V'ayim lefarim esrim v'arba brachas, he adds 6 brachas for a total of 24. Yud chesh b'chol yoyim, 18 that are said every day, and we said yesterday it's really 19 that are said every day, or Ma'aseh V'Leim Oit Shesh, and he adds 6 more brachas. V'Eileh in Zichronos V'Shreifres, the Zichronos and Shreifres that we spoke about in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that are said in Rosh Hashanah. Then he says, El Hashem B'Tzarosili Karosiv Yaneini, a capital in Tehillim. The next capital in Tehillim that he says is Esu Eino El Harim. Then he says the capital Mamamachim Karasich Hashem. And then he says Tefillah La'Oni Kiyatoiv, which totals 6 extra brachas. Yudai Meloya Tzarech Loim Zichronos V'Shreifres. He didn't say Zichronos V'Shreifres. El Oimre Tachteyem, instead of saying Zichronos V'Shreifres, he said Rav Kiyah Ba'aretz, Deva Kiyah, which is a capital in Yirmiyah, or Ashahoy Dvar Hashem al Yirmiyah al Divrei B'Tzairus. So the Machlokes Rishonim how to understand Rabbi Yehuda. The Ritva seems to understand Rabbi Yehuda is saying don't say Zichronos in Shreifres, rather say these 2 chapters instead. Why not say Zichronos V'Shreifres? So the Mefarshim explained the Ritva's position based on Gemaras that we learned in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Because in Masechet Rosh Hashanah we learned that the Gemara says that when we say Zichronos V'Shreifres, we don't mention Peronius. We don't mention something bad happening to Klal Yisrael. But here, on the fast day, we do have to speak about it. So it's inappropriate to say Zichronos V'Shreifres. Or another pshat, we learned also in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that we always say Zichronos, Shreifres, and Malchus. If you can't say all 3, don't say any. Malchus doesn't really make any sense to say here on a fast day. So since we don't say Malchus, Rabbi Yehuda says don't say Zichronos V'Shreifres. The Rambam, in the Pirush of Mishnayis, seems to learn differently the Ritva, and the Rambam seems to learn that what Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean to say is that you're not allowed to say Zichronos V'Shreifres. What he means to say is you could say it or you don't have to say it. It's so to speak, optional. And then he says the end of the brachas. And as we'll see, there are 7 endings, but there are only 6 brachas. So how do we understand this? So as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the first bracha, the bracha of Goyal Yisrael, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah tomorrow, these extra brachas were inserted in the Shemoneh Esrei between Goyal Yisrael and Rifa'enu. The Goyal Yisrael was elaborated on, and there was a special chesima said by it. The Mefarshim discussed, the Rishonim already discussed, was Anenu said. Some say that certainly Anenu was said. Others say, just like we have in Rosh Chodesh, when we say Musaf, we don't say Yalav Yavoy, because the whole tefillah is for the Musaf. Here too, since we're adding all of these 6 brachas, there's no need to say Anenu. It's also Machlokes Rishonim, which tefillah did they add the 6 brachas? Some say it was said in every tefillah, some suggest that it was only by Shachris in Mincha, not by Nila. Some say it was a special tefillah where it was added. So the first ending was, Arushayin Aymer, Misha Anas Avram Vin Bahar Maria, the one that answered Avram Bahar Maria, when he brought Yitzchak on the Akedah, Hu Yana Eschem, V'yishcha B'kol Tzakaschem Hayoyim Hazeh, he should hear our tefillahs, Baruch Ata Hashem Goyal Yisrael. The first one says, Hayoyim Hazeh, means that we ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu to hear our tefillah today, and it should be such a Yeshua that we should never have to daven again, that we should be completely saved. The obvious question, when we learn this Mishnah, when we learn this piece of the Mishnah, is 2 questions. Number 1 is Avram Avinu didn't daven by the Akedah. Avram Avinu was happy to bring Yitzchak for an Akedah. Furthermore, it shouldn't say Goyel Yisrael, it should say Goyel Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the one that was saved. So I saw the Mefarshim answer beautiful teretz. The Medrash says that after the Akedah, Avram Avinu turned around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, when you told me to bring Yitzchak for an Akedah, I could have asked you an obvious question. Esmael Amarta, yesterday you said, Kibbe Yitzchak Yikaro L'Chazara. Yitzchak is the future. And today, you tell me to bring Yitzchak as a carbon. But El Kavashti Yisrachmi. I didn't ask any questions, and I was prepared to take Yitzchak for an Akedah. Therefore, I beseech you, says Avraham Avinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the future, if Klal Yisrael will ever have, will act not properly, remember the Akedah and save them. Mi sha'onala Avraham Avinu Bahar Maria, that heard that tefillah of Avraham Avinu that he davened for us, for all the future generations, Goyal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember that tefillah today and save us. Others say Goyal Yisrael is that Yitzchak because Yitzchak was saved, we could have a Klal Yisrael. That's why it says Goel Yisrael. Yet another pshat I saw is, why was Yitzchak saved? Because they saw that he's going to have a child, Yisrael, Yaakov. And because he's going to have such a great son, he was saved. That's why it says Goel Yisrael. Al Shnei, I mean, the next bracha says, Misha Ono HaSavon HaSen Al Yamsuf, he who heard, who saw Klal Yisrael by Yamsuf, Hu Yanetzchem Yishma Kol Tzarkatzchem, Hayom Ezeh Baruch Ata Hashem, Zoycha Nishkochus. This is said to Zechroinus, because Klal Yisrael was forgotten, so to speak, in Mitzrayim, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us to save us. Al Shlish Yisroimer, Misha Ono Yishishua by Gilgal, when Yeshua was in Gilgal, Klal Yisrael was in Gilgal, when they were about to enter Tzisrael, Yerichoy, Hu Yanetzchem Yishma Kol Tzarkatzchem, Hayom Ezeh Baruch Ata Hashem Shemei Trua. This is said for Shofaris, because as we know the Pasuk says, they blew the Shofaris and the wall of Yericho crumbled. Shmuel, the Plishtim, attacked Klal Yisrael in Mitzpah, and Shmuel davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hu Yanez Chavishman Bekot Zakaskim Ayoyim Azeh, Baruch HaHato Hashem, Shemei Tzu'okam. Al Chamish Yisroimer, Mishonis Aliyah Bahar Kamah, we know that Aliyah had a debate with the Nevi Abal, who could cause the fire to come down in the Shemayim, Hu Yanez Chavishman Bekot Zakaskim Ayoyim Azeh, Baruch HaHato Hashem, Shemei Tfilah. Al Shish Yisroimer, Mishonis Onis Yonim Mei Adoga, Yonah was in the whale, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu saved him. Hu Yanez Chavishman Bekot Zakaskim Ayoyim Azeh, Baruch HaHato Hashem, Ayoyim Beit Tzorah. Al Shvius, in the seventh one of Oimer, Mishon is David, the one that answered David when there was a famine in Klal Yisrael, and David was Mispalo. The Shlomo Benoi Rashi says two pshatim. One is that Shlomo was Mispalo when he inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. Whoever is Mispalo in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Makom HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear his tefillos, or it refers to when Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring the Orin into the Beis HaMikdash. V'dofku Sh'orim Zeh B'Zeh, the gates didn't want to allow him, and he was mispalo. The one who heard those tefillos, Hu Yanetzchem Yishma Bekol Tzarkatzchem Hayom Hazeh, Baruch Ato Hashem Hamerachem Ol Oretz. The Mefarshim say that even though the story of David and Shlomo happened before the story of Yonah, so why do we go out of sequence? Because you want to have the last tefillah should be Hamerachem Ol Oretz.
Why isn't the chapter in Tehillim mentioned together with its
Prophet Gopher? I don't know. Maisus, says the Mishnah. Maisus B'mei, Rav Chalefta, Rav Shimon ben Tranyan, Mashava Acha Lefnei Teva. Somebody came up to daven the Shlich Tzibur, V'gomas a bracha kula, and he completed saying the bracha, V'loi Anu Achrav Amen. So as Rashi explains, what was the mistake that happened here? As we will learn in the Shia tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem, that in the Beis Hamikdash, they did not say Amen after a bracha. Rather, in the Beis HaMikdash, when a bracha was recited, they would say, Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Aloylam Voed. In the time of Chalafta and Chanani Betrajan, even though it was not, this story happened not in the Beis HaMikdash, this is the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, the error that was made was that they said, Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Aloylam Voed, instead of Amen. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn that there were different errors, that perhaps the error was that in the Beis HaMikdash, after every bracha, they blew the shofar. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, they're only supposed to blow the shofar at the end, and they made a mistake, they blew after every one. Or something that we discussed in the previous year, in the Beis HaMikdash, they're supposed to blow b'shas tzorah with chatzotris. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, they blow with shofaris. And here they made the error that even though it took place outside the Beis HaMikdash, instead of using shofaris, they used chatzotris. And then the Shamus announced, Tiku Kahanim v'taku. He tells the Kahanim, prepare to blow. And he said, and then the Chazan completed the bracha by saying, this way Rashi learns, we'll learn tomorrow, maybe there's a different way of understanding this. Mishonas Avram Avinu Bahar Maria, Hu Yanez Chav Yishman V'kol Tzakaskim Ayoyim Ezeh. And then Hariyah B'nei Aaron Hariyah, they made again an announcement, now's the time to blow. And again, the Mefarshim point out, first it says Kahanim, then it says B'nei Aaron. First it says Tiku, and then it says Hariyah. So Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this. Some Rishonim say that the words can be used interchangeably, it doesn't really mean anything. Others say that by the first bracha, they blew a tekiah, trua, tekiah, and by the second bracha, they blew a trua, tekiah, trua. Yet I saw another sheet in the Rishonim. By the first bracha, they blew tekiah, shvaram, trua, tekiah. By the second bracha, they blew tekiah, shvaram, tekiah.
But his third bracha, they brew true tkiya. Then they repeated it. And in the seventh bracha, they said they did tkiya shvam, true tkiya again. And then they said, Mishonis avasen al yamsov yan eskav yishma kotsu kaschem hayoim zeh. And they made the mistake, as we said, the different mistakes that the Rishonim identify. Kshibah davah etz hachomim. When the Chachamim heard what they were doing, Amar lo hayinogim kein. This is not the way we acted, only b'shara mizrach or harabayis. Only when they fasted and did this by the harabayis, entering through the shara mizrach. Otherwise, we say amen, we blow with shofars, etc. We know that the kahanim do the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. The kahanim are divided into 24 mishmeres. There's a rotation. Every week, a different mishmer does the avoid. The mishmeres are divided into batei av. It's actually steer, there's a contradiction in Rashi's. One place, Rashi says, there were seven batei av, every day of the week a different base av. Another place, there was said there were six batei av, when the Shabbos, the entire Mishmer worked. So says the Mishmer. Anshe Mishmer, the people of the Mishmer, Mis'anem v'loi Mishlimim, Mishcholosh Tanis Rishonis, during the first set of three Tanesim, Anshe Mishmer, the people of the Mishmer, Mis'anem v'loi Mishlimim, they fast, but they don't finish the day. V'anshe Beisav, the people who are supposed to do avoided that day, loy Mis'anem Klal. Mechlekes Rishonim, why? Some Rishonim learn, because since they were doing the avoider, so they didn't have ability to fast. They needed the koyach. They needed the strength to do the avoider. The Meiri learns, because the day that they did an avoider, they did the avoider as a yontif. And if it's a yontif, it's inappropriate to fast. Sholosh Shnius, the second group, Anshe Mishmer, the people who are of the Mishnah, Mesanim Mishlamim, they finish the day. Anshe Beis Av, they fast. Mesanim V'lem Mishlim, they don't finish the day. Shev Achronim, the last group, which is the most serious group. Elav Elam Mesanim Mishlim, both the people of the Mishmer of that week, and both the people of the Beis Av of that day, Mesanim Mishlim, complete the day with a fast. Divrei Rabbi Shua, that's what Rabbi Shua learns. The Chamarim, they learn different. Sholosh Tanis HaRishonis, the first set, Elav Edu, both the people of the Mishmer, and certainly the people of that day's base Av, Loyal Mesanim Klal, they didn't fast at all. Sholosh Shnius, the second group, Anshe Mishmer, the people of that week's Mishmer, Mesanim V'lo Mishlim, fast, but they don't finish the day, fasting. Machloik is till when they fast, some say till Chatzois, some say till Mechik Gedoyla, some say till Mechik Tana. V'anshe Beis Av, Loyal Mesanim Klal, didn't fast at all. Shev Achroinis, the last group, Anshe Mishmer, Mesanim Mishlimim, the people of that week's Mishmer finish the day. V'anshe Beis Av, Mesanim V'lo Mishlimim, they don't finish the day. Continues the Mishnah, once we started speaking about the Mishmer and the Beis Av. Says the Mishnah, Anshe Mishmer, the people whose week it is to work, B'tarim Lishten Yayin B'Leilois, allowed to drink wine by night, Avaloi B'Yom, not by day. Why? Because the Aloch is that a Kohen that drank wine is not allowed to do the Avoida. Even though today is the day of a specific Beis Av, the Aloch is that let's say there's an abundance of Kabbonis, and there's not enough people in today's Beis Av to do the avoida, so then we ask people from that week's Mishmer. So they always have to be prepared to do the avoida. And since they always have to be prepared to do the avoida, we don't let them drink wine by day. Anshe Beis Av, loy b'yoyim v'loy b'layla, are not allowed to do avoida both by day and by night. The people of the Beis Av. Why? So Rashi and the Ravid say, because by night, Kabbonis aren't brought, but by night the leftovers are burnt on the Mizbeach. So therefore, the way Rashi and the Ravid explain, at night, the people of that Mishmer are going to see, are they needed or not? The people of the Beis Av are certainly needed. They're needed to take care of the fats and the Emron on the Mizbeach. The people of that week's Mishmer, if they see that they're needed, won't drink. If they're not needed, they could already drink wine. The Rambam has a different approach. His approach is that we're not speaking about the night after the day. We're speaking about the night before. Tomorrow, my Beis Av is going to work. So since tomorrow, my Beis Av is going to work, I shouldn't be allowed to drink wine tonight, so I shouldn't be under the influence tomorrow. But if that's pshat, the Ravid asks, should it say, loy belayla, v'loy beyoyim? What did the Mishnah say? loy b'yoyim v'loy b'layla. It's out of order if the Rambam's pshat is right. The halacha is that when one brings a carbon, he has to attend that carbon. He has to do smicha. He has to be there when his carbon is brought. So the truth is, every day we all bring a carbon when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. The carbon tamid is a carbon of all of Klal Yisrael. But it's a little hard to live that kind of life where all of Klal Yisrael will be in the Beis HaMikdash. So we have people called Anshei Maimed. They were the representatives of Klal Yisrael in being by the Beis HaMikdash. We'll discuss it more in the Gemara when the Kabbanis were brought. It's an interesting machlokes I saw. Were Kahanim and Levim also part of the group of Anshei Maimed? One hand, Rashi seems to say that they were. Another hand, we don't need representatives of Kahanim and Levim. They already had Kahanim and Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. Anshei Maimed, Anshei Mishmer, Anshei Maimed, Asur Mel Sapon Kabbis, the week that they're on, that they're working, they shouldn't take a haircut or do laundry. As we'll see, they should have done it the week before. Chamishi Matarim, but on Thursday, they're allowed to take a haircut, but they cover the Shabbos. I saw a very interesting Magen Avraham. The Bach, and a lot of people have this minik, says that one shouldn't take a haircut or cut his nails on Thursday. He says two reasons. Number one, if you take it on Thursday, it seems that it's a chesaron and covered Shabbos, because you should have waited for Erev Shabbos. Also, because Allah is, if you cut your hair or your nails on Thursday, they start growing 3 days later, which will be Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham asks, here we see that they used to take a haircut on Thursday. So those that want to answer, that since Friday was a short day, so, and Anshei Mishmer and Anshei Maimed did not have time on Friday to take a haircut, that's why they were allowed to take a haircut on Friday. But certainly somebody who has the opportunity and has a choice to take the haircut on Thursday or Friday should preferably, l'kavod Shabbos, take the haircut on Friday. We know, we learned it many times, there's something called Megillas Tainus. The Megillas Tainus lists all of the days that Chazal decreed as Yom Tovim. But there are different levels of Yom Tovim. There's a Yontif which is a Yontif de Loyla Sanus, that we don't fast. There's another Yontif, which is a higher level Yontif, the Loyla Misbet, that where Hespet's not said. Why is it a higher level? So the Farshim say, because the Loyla Misbet, if we say a Hespet, it doesn't take that much away from the Yontif. The Hespet, how long does it take? An hour, whatever. A Tainus is the whole day. So says the Mishnah, Kol HaKosav in Megillas Tainus, any Yontif that's listed in Megillas Tainus, the Loyla Misbet, that it's such a high level Yontif, that we don't say even a Hespet on that day, Lefon of Asr, even the day before the fast day, you're not allowed to say, this Yontif, you're not allowed to say a Hespet, Lach of the day after you may, Mutter. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he holds that such a high level Yontif, both Lefon of Lachr of Asr, you're not allowed to say a Hespet. A lower level Yontif, it's only a Yontif, the Loyless Anois, that you don't fast on that day, Lefano of La'achrav Mutter, Tanakama holds that both the day before and the day after you're allowed to say a Hespid. Rabbi Yossi, again, always being more Yontif dig, says Lefano of Asr, the day before you're not allowed to say a Hespid, La'achrav Mutter, you're allowed to say a Hespid. Continues the Mishnah. Ein goizim tanas al tzibah b'tchila b'chamishi. We never start that a series of fairs should begin on Thursday. Shloi lafkia hasharim. Because it'll cause the prices to go up. Why will it cause the prices to go up? Because, simple pshat, it's Thursday night, the stores, there'll be a big demand in the stores. People need to buy meal for after the fast. And moreover, they have to buy food for Shabbos, which will cause the prices to go up. Like Mefarshim say, we're obviously dealing with non-Jewish shopkeepers that aren't aware that it was decreed as a fast. Another pshat that I saw is when the shopkeepers, even the Jewish shopkeepers, hear that Chazal decreed a fast, they'll say, why did they decree a fast? Because there's going to be a shortage. As soon as a shopkeeper hears there's going to be a shortage, what does he do? He raises the prices. We don't want that to happen, so we careful not to happen on Thursday. And this is the source where in Halacha, the Halacha speaks a lot about being careful about prices. There's a famous tshuva from the Tzemach Tzedek where the price of fish went up, and he said that nobody should eat fish even on Shabbos until the price became back down to normal price, fair price. So again, says the Mishnah, Ein goyzem tanis al tziv betchil b'chamishi, shalo yefkeh ha-shom, that the price shouldn't go up. El sholos tanis v'shoynis, the first set of fares should be sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, Monday, Thursday, Monday. However, the sholos shniyas, the second set, once they already know that we began fasting, could be chamishi sheni v'chamishi, Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shem sheni v'shoynis b'chamishi, just like we don't begin the first set on a Thursday, kach loy shniyas loy achroynis. So to the second set or the third set should not be gone on a Thursday. And Tosfos Yatov explains, because since there was a time interval between the sets, people will forget that we're in the middle of this series, and therefore we never begin a fast on Thursday. Continues the Mishnah. Ein goyzem tanis latziv b'rosh chodeshim. We never decree a fast day for a shchodesh. A shchodesh is called a mayid. B'chanuk u'b'purim. V'meschilu, but let's say they decreed a series of fast. And then it turns out that one of the days is on a Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah Purim, Eim Afsikim, then we do fast on that day. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. Om Rab Meya, Abish Om Rab Gamliel, Eim Afsikim, that if it's on a, if the fast day comes out on a Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah Purim, we don't stop, we fast that day. However, Moida Haya, says Rabbi Meir Gamliel, agrees, Shema Shlim, that we don't finish the day, since it's Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah Purim, we shouldn't fast the whole day. The Kain Tisha B'av Shechal is Be'er Shabbos. Similarly, if Tisha B'av comes out on a Friday, we shouldn't come into Shabbos in a status of fasting. We break the fast before Shabbos. This is not relevant because in our calendar, this was only, as we learned so much in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, where they were Mekadosh Al Pi Re'iyah, that any day of the week could come out to be a Yontif. In our fixed calendar, Tisha B'av can never be on a Friday. Says the Gemara, say the Tanya's Ketzat, how did it work? Metzinas Atevis. So if we learned the Mishnah, we didn't learn the Mishnah this way, we already knew the Gemara. But if you learn the Mishnah, Pasha Pshat, it seems a Fila Kamaisa, that even on the first sets of fast days, this process described in the Mishnah was followed. Verminu asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Sholosh Tanis Rishonis Vishnias, during the first and second set of Tanaisim, Nechnosim Lebesek Nesset, they would enter the Shul, Mispalim, Kaderach Shemispalim, Kol Hashanah Kula. They would daven in Shul, the regular Shemon Esrei. It's only b'sheva achroinus in the last seven tanaisim where Metzinas HaTevel or Chayv HaShalir, where they took out the Aron Kodesh to the city square for nice and efa gabe teva, and we put ash on top of the Aron or b'rosh hanasi b'rosh avezdin to kol echav echad, and then after they put the ash on these people's head, noitel v'noisim b'roshay, we put it on his head. They brought specifically ash, like Rashi explained, it has to be ash, not dust. But here we see that this process described in the Mishnah was only done in the last set. So explains Rapapa, our Mishnah is not referring to the first two sets, as Shevachroyes Tana is talking about the last set of seven. The first set is not what is described in our Mishnah.